Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so great having you all tune us in and turn us on. We got a great lineup. Great lineup for you. As always, thanks to the most fabulous Linda. But before we kind of tell you all about what's going on today, two really cool things. One I'm super excited about. And the reason I'm super excited about it is because y'all out there, you ever go to the doctor and they're like, oh, diabetes. I went through this with Linda's mom, and we literally got her some great care to extend her life for an additional 12 years. But all of a sudden, it's like, oh, you got diabetes. Like, where? How? Who? And now what do you do about it? But that's not for me. That's going to be Chef Jennifer Bucco-Lamplo joining me here today because the Diabetes Cookbook is in the house. But first, let me say hi to Benny. Hi, Benny.
Hey, Pat.
Did you have a good weekend?
I did. And yourself?
You know, I did have a good weekend. Yeah. I got to listen to Jessica's fiance, Jason. And I didn't know she was engaged.
Congratulations.
Yes, she is.
Very cool.
To her like longtime beau.
Aww.
Right? Yeah. Isn't that sweet?
It is.
Don't you love that?
Of course.
I know. But did you also know that this weekend in the Pacific Northwest, especially where we are, it was a classical music festival contest, like the weekend. So all these kids in all these schools, right, they get together and they participate in this festival.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the teachers have been doing is they are like on call playing like 24/7 for the weekend. And so we got to participate and got to see Jason, who is a fabulous pianist. And I actually have the recording of it. We're going to play some of the recording here throughout the week. And then five of his compadres, the most incredible flutist that I've ever seen. Flutist, flautist, whatever people say, she was rocking it. I mean, it made me want to pick up my viola.
And did you?
No, I didn't.
you got to have action behind that. You got to have action.
I picked up my ping pong paddle.
How's
that'll
work.
Is that good?
Which is kind of like a little viola. I mean, you could
like
actually,
a little viola.
You could design it like one.
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
I'm it's the same.
Totally about that. But, you know, look, we're getting into spring. So here's the deal. We all want to know how to level up our game. We want to know how to level up our game, Benny. And by the way, how do we do that? We're all doing it. You know, you and me, we've been doing this 15 years. KKNW has been doing it longer than that. Our CRN partner has been doing it way longer than that. Transformation Talk Radio, we're doing it. But we have listened to the listeners, Benny. And we're bringing them what they want. And I am starting this off today. I'm so excited about this. I'm so excited, Chef Jennifer. Crazy. I am loving this book. So here's what I want to say. Y'all out there that don't want to spend $5,000 on getting the perfect set of pans to cook in and thinking about, oh my God, I'm not a chef. This book's for you. I love it. First of all, I love everything in it. The recipes are off the chart, innovative. The other thing is the breakdown about this is how long does it take? How many servings? What do you do with it? Benny, in the book, like there's the nutritional fact thing that tells you about this. I've never heard of this. This is ridiculously amazing to me. But we're going to talk about diabetes too. So I want to tell everybody about Chef Jennifer for a minute. Director of Nutritional Programs and Executive Chef for Northern Illinois Food Bank in Geneva, Illinois. And this is a position. She oversees all the nutrition, all the meal stuff, right? For kids, for seniors, all of the above. Co-author of other books. But why this book? What is up with her? Chef Jennifer, great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
All right. I got to tell you what up. Look, I just shared, I don't know if you were listening, but I shared about Linda's mom, right? You know, yeah. You go to the doctor, you know you got cancer, and then all of a sudden they're coming back like, oh, you got like diabetes. And so like, it's like, well, I don't even know what that means. What is it about your passion and purpose? Why this book, the Diabetes Cookbook? I think it's more than a diabetes cookbook, but there's something that must have been going on with you to say, I got to write something different here.
Yes, absolutely. So you're right. It is a diabetes cookbook, but it's really for anybody who wants to eat healthy, number one. But my co-author is a certified diabetes educator and a registered dietitian, and her main focus was always people with diabetes. I personally don't have diabetes myself, but I come from a family where diabetes is rampant, and so it's always been sort of the top of my mind of, I don't want to get diabetes. And so when I became a chef and she was a dietitian, and we also happened to be best friends since we were 12 years old, we said, you know, we really need to collaborate and do something good for the world. And so we thought we were a perfect combo to start writing cookbooks for people with diabetes.
I love it. Now, let's talk about the book itself, and then we're going to get into some really cool stuff here. But when I opened the book, and I think I told you before you came on, I read everybody's book. I do. I have to, because I'm like a student. You know, I don't come from this healthy place. I mean, I don't come from, oh my God, I hung around thought leaders all my life. That was so not me. But here we are, we're battling diabetes. We're battling obesity. We're battling. And yet I can't help how you're bringing us back old school, kicking it up big time to say we can still eat yummy stuff and take good care of ourselves, right?
Absolutely. And that's really a passion of mine. I think people have this notion in their head. I think especially when you're diagnosed with diabetes, a lot of times what we see is people go instantly to never going to be able to eat my favorite food again. And it's really not true. And our passion is to make these recipes that are, you know, family favorites, cultural favorites, and make healthy versions of them that are easy to cook.
What was your greatest challenge in writing the book? What did you, I mean, everybody looks at a book like this, and because it's so fantastic, everything from the recipes to the pictures, they think easy breezy, right?
Right.
I gotta say, for you and your co-author, what demons did y'all have to face?
Well, time is always a demon, right? And we both had young children. We both have other, you know, we both have full-time jobs aside from being cookbook authors. And so, you know, time and energy is always, you know, the number one. So we would really have to make sure that we scheduled time together to test recipes, to go through and edit, to go through and set up, like, which recipes we wanted to use and that sort of thing. So it's always, you know, everybody has the same battle, right, is time and energy. And so we actually really kept that in mind, too, as we were making these recipes. You know, we have a chapter called the foodie chapter where the recipes are maybe a little more involved, but we also have a quick chapter and a slow cooker chapter because we really understand the home cook, because even though I'm a classically trained chef, you know, I'm still a home cook and so is she. And so, you know, we always kept that at the forefront of our minds, like who is going to be making these recipes and where are they going to shop for their ingredients? And so, you know, making sure that the ingredients are easy to find and that the recipes are easy to follow and that they are pretty quick.
Okay, let's define home cook. Once upon a time, right, home cook meant mom, home,
right.
Like 24/7, that's what the mom did, right? Now, I didn't grow up with that kind of mom because everybody in my family had to work, but that is not the home cook we're talking about. We're talking mom, dads. As a matter of fact, I am an auntie for an 11-year-old who was brought up in a family where she loved and passionately learns how to cook. She is a cook, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But not in the same way we're talking about. Tell us about how the demographic has changed.
Well, I mean, it's really whoever is home to make the meal for the family, you know, and truthfully, people are cooking less and less at home, and we're really trying to battle that and to get kids involved. We have a whole chapter in the book that are kid-friendly recipes, because getting kids involved in cooking is going to, and actually the work I do at Northern Illinois Food Bank backs this up, because we have a nutrition education program for kids in an after-school setting, and we did some research behind it. And kids are more likely to try new foods if they have a hand in making it. And so we really try to inspire the family to cook at home. And, you know, you don't have to go out to dinner for, you know, a special meal. You can make it at home and make some really fun and interesting things and get everybody involved.
Awesome. Look, give us the state of affairs on diabetes in the United States. I talked about how massive it is, but I don't have any numbers. I know you have information. Can we talk about this and why it's a problem in America?
Yeah, most definitely. I don't have the most recent statistic of how many people in the country have diabetes, but it's actually growing exponentially, and I consider it an epidemic in this country. And it really is one of those things that, now there's two kinds of diabetes. There's type 1 and type 2. And type 2 is really the one that's, they call it adult onset diabetes, but actually we're even seeing more kids who are getting type 2, which used to be very rare. And so it is one of those diseases that is a chronic disease, but that can be managed with diet and exercise. And it can be really daunting for people to have to change those things, because it's a behavior change. It's not just like, okay, you have diabetes, now you need to start eating this way, right? And it's, you have to really learn how to change your lifestyle around that. And, you know, we try to make that as friendly as possible through the work that we do. You know, Laura, who's my co-author, you know, she works with patients every single day educating them about this. And then, you know, we go out and try to spread the word that, like, you really can have a, you know, a happy, healthy, fulfilling life. Mm-hmm. With diabetes and still eat the foods that you want, but it does become very stressful for people, especially newly diagnosed. But it really is a serious, very serious issue in this country, and more people are getting diagnosed every single day.
Yeah, and we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, okay, look, what is the preventative part of this? What can you what can everybody do and look at to make sure we are taking this and doing something to turn back time with it? And then we're going to talk about how the book works. One of the things I was struck by is, as I went through the book, how much nutritional information. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen something quite like this. How much nutritional information Chef Jennifer and Laura have put together in this book. Let's take a short break, everybody. We're coming right back with it.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to corneliastephanie.com.
Tap into the wisdom of animals, angels, and masters with Darcy Pariso on Animal Soul Wisdom Radio. Tune in monthly as Darcy brings insights on how to better understand and deepen our relationships with animals. Working with light and pureness of ancient techniques, Darcy, healer, animal communicator, and medium, is here to guide you through this process and provide inspiration to move forward. For more information about working with Darcy, visit darcypariso.com.
Are you ready to consistently tap into the transcendent place where your whole being is available to you and access a higher level of ability and performance physically, cognitively, emotionally, and effectively? Then join us on ClearSpeak Talk Radio with Dr. Jeanette Wolf on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in every fourth Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Go to JeanetteWolf.com, Quantum Body, to sign up for your whole health mentoring.
People often ask, what does it mean to thrive? On Thrive by Gen Radio, it means body confidence, mind fulfillment, and soul synchronicity. Create synchronicity with God and learn as Jen shares action steps and real stories that will inspire you to be unstoppable in fulfilling your purpose. Tune in live each Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com and visit jenniferzelop.com to thrive with Jen.
Hi, I'm Laura Meeks, and the most common problem that my clients face is all work and no play. This is why I created Fly High Living. I help you develop a balanced life plan and guide you to a place where you love to wake up in the morning.
Call 888-666-1570 or go to flyhighliving.com to sign up for the 4-week Flight Plan for Life course.
Have you been searching for a push to step out and share your gifts with the world? Allow Charlene Hess to empower you to start shedding the layers of your ego that are holding you back and begin feeling connected to your heart so that you can shine your unique divine light and share your gifts with the world. Tune in to The Charlene Hess Show, Living on Your Heart's Edge, every third Friday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit CharleneHess.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. I'm so thrilled to have Chef Jennifer joining us here today. We're talking about the diabetes cookbook. We're going to dig into it. The other thing I want to say to all of you out there is we are taking your comments and questions. 1-800-930-2819, 1-800-930-2819. Or if you go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or TheDrPatShow.com, just ask your question and we'll get your question on air. What it is that I believe Chef Jennifer has done is she's not only laid out, you know, this is what diabetes is, this is how we address it, this is what you can do, but the recipes in here are so amazing and easy. That's what I love about them, and delicious. But more importantly, if you're like me and you're thinking about your family and you come from some sort of history, right, about this, you're very much back plugged in to the Mediterranean diet or the Mediterranean way of doing things. That's been a problem for people in my family because we love olive oil. Yeah, yeah. And when we all cut out olive oil, life just wasn't the same. But Chef Jennifer has a different conversation. Before we dig into this, because this is the first thing I want to talk about, how can people find out more about you? How can they find out about your other books? All of the above.
Yeah, definitely. So the American Diabetes Association is our publisher. And so all of our books are on their website, diabetes.org. And all of our books are, you can get them in the traditional ways too, online business, in the bookstore. You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at FitFoodieChef. Foodie with an IE chef. And then I also have a Facebook page that's Fit Foodie Chef. So you can follow me in those places. And I post lots of pictures of food. And I am also a runner. And I am also a part-time running coach for Not Your Average Runner. And so I do a lot of work and do running myself, but also coaching women who want to become runners. Mm-hmm. And so, and I'm a not your average runner. If you go out, you'll see I'm a slower runner. I do interval running. And our Not Your Average Runner platform is really, for people who are just like me, middle-aged and, you know, want to get out there and get some good exercise. Yeah. And running is transformational in your mind too. Like if you can become a runner, you really can do anything.
Yeah. I'm a runner like you. And I don't know how I got to be the runner like you. I think it's my personality. I'm not the slow and steady runner. I like to run a little bit, walk a little bit, and then run real fast. Not sure what that's about, but that's probably a show we could do about that.
Yeah.
Okay. The couple things I want to take on. One is the conversation about fat. Now, I know there are clearly guidelines that we follow, right, with Food and Drug Administration. We've clearly followed that. But I will speak from my own experience. And what I learned is that when I was on a no-fat plan for like years, by the way, Chef, years, years, right? I mean, can you imagine what my metabolism did? With
I remember
no fat
those days back in the 90s when everybody was eating the fat-free food.
Everything. But it was like we were so programmed. It was like everything. And it was so not part of my makeup. Fast forward. What's the relationship that you found here with how far off the curve we went, and how does that relate to diabetes? Because I think it's a two-part question. One is fat itself, but two is read the label before you find the no fat thing, because it's got some other stuff in it, right?
Yeah, for sure. A lot of times when you take fat out of foods that should have fat in them, it gets replaced with sugar. And that's what we don't want to be adding into any of us, whether you have diabetes or not. We all get plenty of sugar in different ways, and so we don't want to be adding sugar. And truthfully, it's not healthy to eat a fat-free diet, because you need fat in your diet to metabolize nutrients. You need it for satiety. So, like, I don't know if you remember back in the day when you would get the fat-free cookies. You know, I could Hoover a box of fat-free cookies, like, in no time, right? Because there was nothing to them. There were no substance, right? So you need the fat to make you feel full. You know, same thing with fiber, right? So those things make you feel satisfied. They feel good in your mouth when you eat them. They make your tummy feel full when you eat them. And then that good fat, and, you know, we want to stick to the good fats, right? So, you know, plant-based fats are always going to be the best. Things like olive oil or nuts or nut butters, avocado oil, those kinds of things. But, you know, the animal-based fats, too, we just want to be careful around saturated fat. But you need that fat in your diet in order to, you know, to process those nutrients and to feel satisfied. And now, you know, the ADA has a lot of nutritional guidelines around fat, but we do use, so we might use some fat-free products like a fat-free Greek yogurt that tastes really great, but then we'll also add in maybe some cheese or some olive oil to add in some of the, you know, some of the fat back in a different way.
Well, and I can't really say enough about, even though this book is called The Diabetes Cookbook, right? I got to tell you, the recipes in here are like restaurant quality, but they are so easy to make.
Yeah.
Let me talk to you about this. Out of everything you've learned, you and your co-author, by the way, everything you've learned, what have you now seen as your top three challenges to reversing diabetes?
I go back to the time and energy, right? You have to, in order to eat healthy, you have to make time to do it. And it doesn't take a lot of time, but you have to make some time because you need to plan, right? So you need to make sure that you have the right foods in your fridge and pantry. You maybe need to do a little bit of pre-work to maybe prep for the week. That's what I do. Like when I have time on the weekend, I try to prep things for the week so that when I get home from work and I'm tired and I only have 15 minutes to get dinner on the table, it's not me stopping, you know, at a drive-thru on the way home and bringing that home for my family, but taking what I've prepped ahead of time and eating it up really quick and making a meal. So I think time is a big one. I think another barrier is that people just think that they don't know how to cook. And, you know, cooking is not an art. And I know I used to teach culinary arts, and I used to have this debate with my students a lot. Cooking is not an art. It's a skill. It can be artful. And there are different levels you can go to make it artful. But the basics of cooking is a skill, and any single person on this planet can learn how to cook. And you really just need a few basics. And so I think that people feel this like, oh, I don't know how to cook. I don't know what to do. It's too overwhelming. I don't want to waste my ingredients. My family's not going to like it. You know, those sorts of things. And I think there's this fear of like attempting to cook that is a real barrier for people. And so I think that's another one. And I think that this idea that you're never going to be able to eat the foods that you like again, or you're going to have to eat differently than your family, or you're going to stand out as like, oh, I can't eat that. I think that's a real barrier for people. So it's really about education. And that's why I always say, you know, people who are newly diagnosed really need to go see a dietitian or a diabetes educator to really get the facts, because there are a lot of myths out there and there's a lot of fear. And so I think if people can understand those things, and you could do all of those things preventatively, you know, if you are prone to diabetes in your family, like I am, you can be sure that you take the steps to do those things ahead of time so that you don't get diagnosed with diabetes too early, you know?
Yeah. One of the things I read in the book was that, first of all, it's the only cookbook that takes into account a variety of healthy eating patterns, right? Mm-hmm. That's going to appeal to a wide range of people. Not, you know, people might see this and say, oh, diabetes. But that's really, for me, I want to be very clear to everybody, this book really transcends that. And we're going to talk later on a show about two things, the slow cooker craze, but also the Mediterranean and low glycemic index recipes. Is there a misconception about I have diabetes, therefore I cannot have any sugar whatsoever?
I think so. I think people, they think sugar and they think sweets, right? They think, oh, I can't eat cake and I can't eat candy and I can't eat all those things. But it's really about managing your total carbohydrates, because carbohydrates are basically sugar, or they turn into sugar into your system. And so it's really about managing those things and balancing out the number of grams of carbohydrate you're eating in each meal. And so people think, like, I'm never going to eat something sweet again. And that's not true. You just have to manage your total carbohydrates. And you talked about the nutrition information that's in the book. It not only gives you the grams of carbohydrates and then the types of carbohydrates underneath that, fiber, sugar, for your total carbohydrates, but it also breaks down the exchange system. So the if you have diabetes and you learn how to eat using that, the meal pattern, they talk about exchanges. So how many carbohydrates exchanges can I have per meal? And so that varies on your age and your weight and your gender and all of those things. But it breaks those down too. So it'll say, like, this recipe has 15 grams of carbohydrate, and that's one carbohydrate exchange. So if you get three carbohydrates in your meal, this is one of those three. And so it's really nice to break it down that way, because then you don't have to do as much math.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Thank you for saving me on that. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the snack attack. What I loved about this book was, as I read through this book, there are so many recipes, even though, you know, chef, you may not have called them out as, look, take this to work for your snack attack. These are some of the things I want to dig into. The other thing I want to dig into is, yeah, what is it about the slow cooker recipes, now even the slow cooker technology, that is really making people like, OMG, this is going to be the best? And then as we go through the book, we're going to wrap it up with talking about dairy, no dairy, gluten, no gluten, how it matters, and how you can master this all. Stay tuned, everybody. Oh, FYI, we're going to give copies of the book away when we come back. Chef Jennifer in the house. We'll be right back.
Take your own journey with the angels with Claire Candy Hoff's heaven-sent guided angel meditation CD. Letting go of concerns and living in the now. This beautiful CD walks listeners through practical exercises to help free them from the burdens, worries, and concerns of daily life.
Walking a quarter of the way across the bridge, you see a bright emerald green light and sense a loving presence. This is Archangel Raphael's green healing energies, nourishing and revitalizing you. Take a moment now to bathe in this green healing light.
Giving you much more than just relaxation and stress release, this wonderfully narrated CD provides vivid visualization, soothing and inspiring music, and an angel's choir that will bring you peace, clarity, and a newfound awareness. Visit angelhealinghouse.com today.
Are you feeling stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a healthy relationship filled with inspiration? You might just be on the verge of attracting your soulmate. Tune in each month to The Laura Richer Show, where dating coach Laura Richer and co-host matchmaker Peggy Bennett share tools for using your dating breakdown for a relationship breakthrough. For more information, visit richerhealinghypnosis.com.
How often do you find yourself wondering, why me? Learn a new shift in perspective to see how everything that takes place in your life is actually working for you and shifting you towards your own enlightenment. Tune in to Blank Enlightenment Radio with Misty Thompson each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit MistyMThompson.com. That's MistyMThompson.com.
Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek has a special gift for everyone out there. To receive 3 chapters of the Knowledge Book as a special gift, send your email to mmjp99@gmail.com. That's M as in Mary, M as in Mary, jp99@gmail.com now to receive this fabulous, fabulous gift of the Knowledge Book.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in, turn us on. Look, I just want to make sure that you all know Chef Jennifer is in the house. We're talking about the Diabetes Cookbook. And I can't say this enough. For me, this book moves beyond diabetes, because when you say the word diabetes, everybody out there, you know, you're thinking, oh, I don't have that. It's not for me. That's actually not what this book is about. For example, one of the things I zoomed in on, and I've just got to talk to the chef about this one, is there's a recipe in here called the Power Lunch Salad. Now, for somebody like me, about lunchtime, after I've been on air for a bunch of hours, all the electromagnetic energy, all of that stuff, this is the kind of thing I want to look at, right? And I thought about how she put that together, how absolutely incredible that is. Everything from feta cheese to, you know, a protein of your choice, to almonds, to dried cranberries, to spinach, spring mint. I mean, I looked at this and I thought, why wouldn't I eat that every day? Because I can be a little one note. Chef Jennifer, tell everybody how they can find out more about this. Then I'm going to go like, Benny, we're going to give a copy of this book away.
I'm so excited about that. Yes, so the American Diabetes Association is the publisher, so you can go to diabetes.org to find this and all of our cookbooks. You can also get it through any traditional source that you buy books, so online or in the store. And yeah, it's out there. We have it's got beautiful pictures. It's easy to follow instructions. And I think it really is for anybody who wants to eat healthy, not just for people with diabetes.
Yeah. The problem with me is I started to look through this book to get ready for the show. And I was okay until I got to the broccoli stuffed sweet potato. And then that was the end of the game for me. Let's give a copy of the book away. 1-800-930-2819. Two things I want to talk about. I want to start out with dairy, no dairy, that controversy. And by the way, when we say dairy, no dairy, we're not all, look, there's a broader conversation. Dairy, back in the 90s, we came to believe it included eggs. When I cut out eggs, I was not happy. But let's bring us fast forward. Where are we with dairy, diabetes, healthy living?
Yeah, I mean, dairy really is one of those things where you only really need to cut it out if you have an allergy or an intolerance. And I think that's true for a lot of ingredients. Mm-hmm. Dairy is a great source of protein. It's, you know, it can really help transform a dish. So, you know, something that went from kind of plain became like luxurious and creamy with some yogurt stirred into it. And so I really, you know, unless you have an allergy or an intolerance, you really don't need to cut dairy out of your diet.
Okay. I got to talk about the egg. the worst day in my life was when somebody said to me, I don't know if it was a doctor, a nutritionist, or somebody said, cut out eggs. And I thought my life would be over. Why did we do that? And where are we now with that?
I think at some point, eggs were flagged as egg yolks were flagged as high cholesterol. Okay. And so I think that's where that came in. I remember like being a kid and my dad having high cholesterol and his doctor saying, you know, stop eating eggs. And he kind of felt the same way because he loved eggs too. So at some point they got flagged as high cholesterol. That's been reversed at this point. And eggs are actually a really great food. They're a complete protein source. They are, you know, they're cheap, they're easy to cook. They're really, there's nothing wrong with eggs. And so, I mean, of course, everything in moderation. And of course, you know, if your doctor tells you not to eat eggs, that might be a conversation that you then, you know, have with your doctor and then a dietitian. If you're allergic to eggs, obviously, you don't want to be eating eggs. So unless, again, it goes back to unless you have an allergy, which eggs are an allergen. So sometimes people will have reactions to food and not know what's causing it. So they should get allergy tested because it might be eggs or dairy or gluten or any one of those things, nuts or things like that. But eggs are so good for you. We use eggs in all of our books. Sometimes if we need to cut the fat down a little bit in some of our recipes to meet the guidelines that the ADA has set, we might use, you know, two regular eggs and a couple of egg whites just to, you know, go a little further with the eggs. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with eggs at all. So you're free. Yeah. Eat your eggs.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, that we're discovered is it used to be an all or nothing conversation. Right. I think that's my that's my recollection of the 90s. It was either all or nothing, fat, no fat, eggs, no eggs, bread, no bread. And now what we've discovered is even if you want to cut back on the egg yolk, you still listen to this: 4 egg whites, 2 egg yolks. I mean, you can still do that. Keep the calorie intake down for people that are looking at calories. Right.
Yep. Absolutely. Right.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about this. Slow cookers, OMG. It was like my mom used to use them back in the day, and then they disappeared from the face of the earth. Now they are like everybody is slow cooking pulled pork. I guess there's like a new technology. Tell us about how this helps with healthy eating.
For sure. I mean, again, this goes back to that time issue. And so when you want to say, well, it's funny because a slow cooker takes a long time to cook something, right? Usually 6, 8, 10 hours. But that's something that is going to save you time in the evening. If you started in the morning, and you know, you roast your, you know, slow cook your, you know, chicken or your pork or whatever it is that you're making. We have a, we do one where we make, ropa vieja, which is like a shredded beef taco, delicious. You know, and it's, you start, you know, prep it. I usually prep it the night before so that all I have to do is like drop it into the slow cooker in the morning and turn it on before I leave for work. And then when I get home, like dinner's ready. I literally like scoop it out of the slow cooker and there's zero time. It's like work, home, back down, dinner on the table. And so they really, I mean, we have a whole chapter just on slow cooker recipes because you can do more, you know. I think people immediately go to like, oh, pulled pork. But I mean, we do a breakfast casserole, we do oatmeal, we do, I mean, we have all these great slow cooker recipes, soups, all sorts of stuff. And it's just such a lifesaver for busy people.
I love it. And I'm going to jump right to it now. One of the books is given away, but I want to give another one away, Benny. 1-800-930-2819. Let's talk about the chapter you put in for the foodies, foodie recipes.
Yeah.
I mean, was like, how did they make this risotto? But let's talk about the recipes in here. How are they different from the others? And what was the importance of putting them in the book, you know, like including them?
I love the foodie recipes because they're maybe a little bit more involved. So they maybe take a little bit longer or maybe they have a few more ingredients. But what I love about them is that they seem fancy with actually being pretty easy. Mm. So when you talk about something, like if I say a grilled vegetable Napoleon, most people don't even really know what a Napoleon is. And they're like, I'm not making that. That sounds too fancy, right? But it's literally grilled vegetables layered with a little bit of goat cheese and yogurt. It couldn't really be easier. And so I just, you know, people love food and they love to have, you know, they love to talk about food and they love to try new things. And I think it's just an opportunity to sort of like up your game a little bit and make something a little bit different and impress your friends. And, you know, I always love to say that I make all these, you know, fancy meals that are healthy and I don't even tell people they're healthy because, you know, people have thoughts about that. And so it's, you know, like I, you know, I always say it's the only time it's okay to lie to your family. Like you don't have to tell them it's healthy because they like it.
And by the way, the book has a picture of this grilled vegetable Napoleon. And just so you know, it pretty much only takes about 20 minutes, and 15 minutes of that is the roasting process for those of you out there, while you could be doing other things. But I love it. The other thing I love about it, this is one of these recipes that I flagged for my snack attack, by the way. I flagged it for my snack attack because what I said to myself is I can pretty much cook this roast, do the roasting, get the roasting done, like whatever, the night before, day before, and then also make the mixture. And then I could literally bring it to work, put it together, and there we go.
Yep.
I love it.
Yeah, and if you know that you're going to get a snack attack, like, you know what's going to happen. 10 o'clock is going to roll around, and you're going to be like, I need something. Better to be prepared for it and have something delicious and healthy to eat as opposed to, like, running down to the vending machine and eating something that, A, is probably not going to satisfy you, and B, is probably not the best thing for you. So, like, be ready and have something delicious ready to go.
All right. We're going to skip the break because I got to get to some of this other stuff, Benny, if you don't mind. I want to break out in a Mario Lanza song right now. Mario Lanza. Italian guy, sang a lot. But what I remember is my uncle, Uncle Ralph, Benny knows him. Uncle Ralph in the Bronx, we're from the Bronx, gardening, growing fresh pear trees, like in the Bronx, fresh herbs, fresh everything, and unbelievable food. And my uncle was as fit as you can imagine. Mediterranean diet. Right? I'm so glad we're bringing the Mediterranean diet. I think we're able to bring it back because we've changed our perspective on fat. Tell us, for you, Mediterranean diet, I think it is, anybody with diabetes, it is your gateway to yummy, 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 yummy eating. Tell me why you included it in here, Chef.
Oh, I love it. For me, it's all about, like you just said, the produce, right? The fruits and vegetables. It's very vegetable forward, that kind of diet. So incorporating vegetables in every meal, the heart healthy fats like olive oil and things like that. And it really is. And it's just such a beautiful way to eat. And I think that it is one of those diets where, again, sounds fancy, sounds hard, and it's really basic. I mean, it's the lean proteins, it's the fruits and vegetables, it's the heart healthy fat, some good grains, and you really can't go wrong. And I think that, you know, I love the idea of incorporating that into our book, not only because it's such a great way to eat, but Lara, my co-author, is Italian. And so we grew up together. You know, I grew up with her eating at her house. And, you know, this is how we ate, and this is how her family ate. And so those recipes are really near and dear to our hearts because, you know, you really can take those, you know, perfect, delicious, healthy, fresh foods and make them into something delicious. And I really encourage people across the board, like fruits and vegetables, I think you, especially vegetables, like try to incorporate them into every single meal. And you don't have to that doesn't mean eat a salad at every single meal. Like, I make smoothies in the morning. We have a great smoothie in there. It's a smoothie bowl and it's got spinach in it, but it tastes like bananas and fruit. So it's like, I can get vegetables into myself and my family by putting it into a smoothie. And so really, you know, try to get those vegetables in. And you don't have to have your own garden to do that. You can grow your own vegetables, great. But you can get vegetables any time of year now. When they're in season is when they're best. They're going to be cheaper. They're going to taste better. Go to the farmer's market. I think people have this notion that fruits and vegetables are really expensive, and then they don't know what to do with them, and then they sit in their produce drawer and they go bad, right? And so it's really about, like, not just eating them raw, but cooking them, putting them into your foods, roast the vegetables, keep them in your freezer. I always have roasted vegetables ready to go. I put them in my scrambled eggs. I throw them into a soup, you know, whatever it is. And just really, and that's, I think, what the Mediterranean diet really embraces, is getting those beautiful vegetables in every part of your meal.
Okay, I got to go to gluten-free. I got to tell you, tell me if I violated Chef Jennifer rule number 562. You ready? Somebody, you or Laura, somebody, you got a little southern something going on here, something. So I got your chicken and whole grain waffle recipe and gluten-free. Here's how. You ready? First of all, I am going to praise you upside down. Amen, sister. Nobody makes chicken and whole grain waffles without cornmeal. Just saying. And if you'd have done that, I'd be like, uh-oh, you got to change it. I got to give you my grandma's recipe, right? Unbelievable. And by the way, everything you've done here, easily, the waffles, they're gluten-free waffles, they're delicious. Cornmeal, you can get it. It is gluten-free. The all-purpose seasoning, everything here could be turned into gluten-free. I just saying, yep, for everybody out there, including the flour. By the way, used almond flour, FYI. Few minutes left. I could sit here all day and go through this. But you not only talked about these recipes are inexpensive to make.
Yeah. Yeah, what? They really are. There's really easy ways to make things gluten-free without having to go to a health food store, especially now, because it's really come to light about celiac disease and gluten intolerance. Yeah. And, you know, these things are easy to find in the grocery store now, which is so great, especially for people who have celiac disease, because it's really a serious disease and people get very, very sick. And so we're very passionate, you know, Laura, especially, because she does have celiac disease and she's gluten free. And so she's, her specialty along with diabetes is helping people with those kinds of food allergies, really, you know, be able to eat healthy. And it's really easy to do. We have a whole chapter just on gluten free recipes, but then throughout the book, we always talk about, like, you can make this gluten free by doing this, you know, so ensure your ingredients are gluten free. So even if you are gluten free because of a disease or you're gluten-free by choice, it's really easy to make the majority of our recipes gluten-free.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this book. I can't believe we're almost out of time here. We got a few more minutes left and I want to get to it. Not only, even if it doesn't say gluten-free, here's what I love about what you did. One or two changes, a little bit of changes, of one or two, you could do it. So let me give you an example. I was looking at the kale and sausage saute. Right. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that and I don't know that it specifically said gluten free. I can't remember now. But the deal with that is you did something brilliant in that recipe. You put in cannellini beans in it. So what you now have is you have the sausage, and you can get that gluten free, by the way, tons out there. But what you have now is a beautiful recipe that you can modify and put it on like cauliflower. So I want to ask you this question. I know we got a few minutes left. If you'd have written this book 5 years ago, I have a feeling it would have been very different. I want to ask you, what trends have you seen that you've included, and what trends do you see? Because I really think we are on the edge of turning this obesity diabetes around. But I want to hear it from you in the final time we have left here.
Yeah, definitely. I think the biggest one that stands out would be the sort of the grain and dairy free chapter. So there's, I think that trend is something, or even maybe just grain free. If you're not doing dairy free, maybe doing grain free. So using things like cauliflower, rice instead of actual rice, and really trying to find different ways to, like, different kinds of carbohydrates, or cutting the carbohydrate load a little bit. I think that's sort of the trend right now, is either low carb, no carb. You know, I like you talked about before, like, I don't like to say no anything altogether. I don't like the cutting something out totally, but you can do lower carb versions. So I think that's probably the biggest trend that we follow in this book. I mean, we have a whole chapter that's grain and dairy free, but we really try to look at the carb load kind of in every recipe and try to. So one of our recipes that I love, that's one of my favorites, is the unstuffed egg roll bowl. So it's basically like the filling of an egg roll in a bowl form, as opposed to being wrapped in dough and fried.
I
love that recipe. And so I think it's probably that lower carb trend. And I think that's going to continue for a while. And I think that sort of is friendly to gluten-free, because you're using different kinds of flours. Like you talked about almond flour. We have a blueberry almond pancake in there that uses almond flour. Which I love, you know, things like that. So I think that's probably the biggest. I think gluten-free 5 years ago was still a thing. So I think we probably would have stuck with that. But I really think that, like, alternative flours, or, you know, going lower carb is really the biggest focus.
I want to ask you this. Maybe it's because I live in the Pacific Northwest, but I've seen a trend and I want to ask you about it, because obviously you have, based on how many of these you've put in a book. The trend that I've seen is to repurpose soup. soup, S-O-U-P. So yeah. Let me tell you what I mean. So you've got like, oh my God, like the butternut squash recipe, soup recipe in here, but there are other. So here's what I mean by repurpose it. Most of the soups that you have in here are very low caloric numbers, right? I think one mm-hmm. of them was under 100. This one is 110. What I started to do with these soups, for those people that have had to cut out gravy, get my feeling with the gravy thing, the soups you put in this book, amazing over other things. So, for example, this butternut squash soup over roasted vegetables and tofu, OMG.
Yeah. How about the cream of caramelized onion soup? Like, that's basically gravy.
Oh, my God, it is.
You know, you put that over, you know, put that with a nice, you know, little piece of pot roast would be amazing.
Yeah. Look, I know we got a few minutes left. I want to ask you two things. How do we find out more? How do people get a copy of the book? And I'd love to know your personal message. And do you know what Laura's favorite is?
Her favorite what? Her favorite recipe?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's good. I'll have to think about that.
Okay. So how do we find out more? How do we get a copy of the book?
Sure. So if you want to get a copy of the book, you can go to the American Diabetes Association's website, which is diabetes.org. You can also get it through any other traditional method of getting books, so whether online or in a store. You can follow me on social media. So anywhere on social media, I'm Fit Foodie Chef, at Fit Foodie Chef. And I'm always posting about, you know, where we're at and what we're doing with the book, which is super fun. Also with Northern Illinois Food Bank. Mm-hmm. Or Not Your Average Runner. So that's those are my sources. What was the second question you asked me? What was my favorite?
Laura. If you don't know Laura's favorite.
Oh, Laura's favorite. I would say it's probably something in that Mediterranean chapter.
Or when we
do something like we have a pork taco recipe, like a kind of a Baja style pork taco. I think that's probably one of her favorites too. We like the meat. Although we do have a vegetarian chapter too. There's a vegetarian / flexitarian chapter. So if you're a vegetarian who maybe occasionally eats meat or occasionally eats seafood, there's a whole chapter for that too. But yeah, we like the meat. So I would say probably like the pulled pork tacos maybe would be one of her favorites.
Yeah. And by the way, there are a lot of recipes in here that if you modify them, they would be vegetarian / even vegan from what I could tell. Now, I'm giving you my analysis, which may not be the facts. All right. Look, thank you. Last question. I know we got to run. Personal message, chef. What do you want to leave us with here today?
I want everybody to know that you can cook and you don't have to go from zero to 5-course gourmet meal, right? Like, cook a part of your meal. Like, maybe buy, you know, something prepared, but then, you know, cook one part of it and try, just start small. Like, I feel everybody feels like they have to go from zero to perfect, right? And they're really, you really can't do that. So just start small. Maybe pick 2 nights a week where you're going to cook or something on the weekend. And just know that it really is something that every single person can do. And with the right guidepost, like our cookbook, recipes that are tried and tested, we know that they work, that you can do it too.
I love it. I hope you'll come back. And I hope you both will come back.
I would love to. Yeah, we would love to.
Because this is so amazing. I actually would love to see you guys do something like a challenge where in 30 days, people pick 30 recipes to change their lives from here. That's what actually Linda and I are going to do. I don't know if we have an extra copy of the book for her. She's not getting my copy. But that's actually what we're going to do when she goes back east. A 30-day.
I love it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. so good. And I hope that you will partner with us on this. We're going to be putting it up on our website and everything. Thank you so much for everything you do.
Thank you so much for having me. It was my pleasure. And I'm in. Put me in for a challenge. I'm with you.
All right. Well, my sister died on a hospital floor at 450 pounds. So I didn't mention that. But that's why the issue of obesity is so important to me. I don't want people to have to go through that.
No, me either.
Okay. Thank you, Chef Benny. We're going to take a shorty, everybody. We're not done. Are you ready for this now? This is totally in line. I'm so grateful for Chef Jennifer. When we come back, the gratitude formula. Yep, yep, yep. We'll be right back.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.